Tonight we have an interesting Torah chapter, so let us continue with our scriptures study. In the days before we had automobiles on the road and car accidents were a danger to us, we had teams of horses on the road and horse accidents were a danger to us. What is a horse accident, you say? It happened when the horses were spooked. Suddenly they would go racing madly in a different direction, scattering things everywhere and breaking the wagon they were pulling. They were out of control and the driver could do nothing to stop them. Have you ever seen a person going through life like a spooked team of horses? Have you ever felt that way yourself? Maybe it happened in your life. You and I need a leader who can direct our lives, someone who can help us through the disturbing events we experience, someone who can keep us on the road. And the question for today is, who is directing your life? Who is directing your life today? Everyone needs a leader, even you and me. We all need someone dependable who can direct our lives and keep us on the road. The good news is that most people are looking for leaders. The bad news is that they will make so many poor choices. People are guided through life by various motives and influenced by their experiences. Some simply follow the crowd in their lives. Others imitate celebrities or are attuned to the latest fashion. And there are those who prefer to march to their own drummer, depending on their inner feelings for direction for themselves. Again, I have a question for all of us tonight. The question, who is directing your life? Today's Torah section, Numbers chapter 8 through 12, has some valuable suggestions. In our chapter for today, we find a clear example of who should lead in our lives. It is an important question for us. In your opinion, who was the leader of the people of Israel? This is the question. Who led the people of Israel? Does the name of Moses came to mind first? Or would you consider Aaron and the 70 elders? But let's read what the Torah tells us about the true leader who guided Israel in the wilderness, through all wilderness. It is in Numbers chapter 9, verses 17 and verse 18. Numbers 9, 17 and 18. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, the people of Israel continued their travels, and they camped whenever the cloud stopped. And verse 18, this is the answer for us. At the order of Adonai, the people of Israel traveled. At the order of Adonai, they camped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they stayed in camp. The answer is, the very presence of God, His face, showed the way for Israel. The Lord showed them when to travel and where to camp. What a blessing it is when God tells you exactly when and where to go. It is a blessing in our lives. But what about today? Is God leading in your lives today? Do we understand that the God of Israel wants to lead our lives? And do we, like ancient Israel, depend completely on God's presence and the direction of His Spirit? This is the question for us. And please understand me correctly. Of course, we need leaders of our country who care about the prosperity, the success, and the safety of our people. We also need spiritual leaders who can correct us and show the direction in which we need to go and to grow. It is an important part. It is a wonderful blessing to have parents to teach us and serve as examples of living. It is so good to be surrounded by wonderful people with godly wisdom, whom the Lord has brought into our lives. Everything is so good. But no human being is able to guide us the way the Holy Spirit wants to do. No human being. We find an amazing example from the Torah chapter. And let us open Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 29. It is an interesting example from today's Torah portion. Numbers 11, 24. Moshe went out and told the people that Adonai has said. Then he collected 70 of the leaders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Adonai came down in the cloud, spoke to him, took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 leaders. When the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Then but not afterwards. And verse 26. It's an amazing story. Let us read carefully here. There were two men who stayed in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad. And the spirit came to rest on them. They were among those listed to go out to the tent, but they hadn't done so. And they prophesied in their camp. A young man ran and told Moshe, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Yehoshua, Joshua, the son of Nun, who from his youth up has been Moshe's assistant, answered, my Lord, Moshe, Moses, stop them. I love this place. My Lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses replied, are you so zealous to protect me? I wish all of Adonai's people were prophets. I wish Adonai would put his spirit on all of them. What an attitude of his heart. What a challenge it was for Moses to guide the sons of Israel in their wilderness. They were not a flock of obedient sheep, but a flock of stubborn rams. And as soon as Moses did not give them his full attention, they began to scatter. You know this story. Constant problems, murmuring, betrayal, threats. This is what accompanied the ministry of Moses throughout his life in wilderness. Even Joshua became zealous of the many people who had received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So zealous, in fact, that he asked Moses to take away the extra anointing from those people, from those two, Eldad and Medad. And you remember, Moses answered him, I would so much like all the people of Israel to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. My job would become so easy if all the people were guided by God, would listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we who are believers have a great responsibility to grow spiritually and learn to discern the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. It is our responsibility and our blessing from the Lord. No one knows us like the Holy Spirit does. No one understands our weaknesses and inner battles like the Holy Spirit. No one loves us like the Holy Spirit. There is no one able to change our lives and lead us as the Holy Spirit can do. He's the Holy Spirit. He's with us. Therefore, it is written in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 14. This is the key verse for us tonight. Romans 8 14. Please remember this verse. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. I would like to read it again. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. The scriptures have many examples which show the will of God for our lives. So let's take a look at some of these. And one of the examples, it is in First Samuel chapter 8 verses 4 through 7. It is a negative example, but it is an example for us. First Samuel 8, 4 through 7. Here's the story. All the leaders of Israel gathered themselves together. They approached Shmuel in Ramah and said to him, "Look, you have grown old, and your sons are not following your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Shmuel was not pleased to hear them say, "Give us a king to judge us." So he prayed to the Lord, to Adonai. And what a tragedy here. Verse 7. Adonai said to Shmuel, "Listen to the people, to everything they say to you. For it is not you they are rejecting. They are rejecting me. They don't want me to be king over them." Of course, it is much more convenient when there is a king. For everyone except the king, of course. Because he becomes the guy responsible for everything. If things don't go well, you can blame him, the king. His fault. The Jewish people wanted to become like people in all the other nations. They would relieve them of the responsibility of serving God. He would relieve them from this responsibility. The king could make the decisions. The people could blindly follow. And if anything went wrong, the people would be innocent. This was their mind. I would like to say a very important truth here. Israel at the time did not understand the perfect will of God for themselves. They never learned the lessons of Passover and Shavuot. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55, Leviticus 25, 55. This is the lesson of Passover and Shavuot. "For to me the people of Israel are slaves. They are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Adonai, your God." The people were to be servants of God, not subjects to the king. The Lord himself wanted to be king over them, over people of Israel, guiding them with the help of the scripture and his spirit. This is the lesson of Shavuot. They received the Torah, written scriptures for them. It is very important for us to understand that neither Moses nor the prophets ever took the place of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Their task was to receive direction from God and convey to his will to the people of Israel. This was their job, their role, to help people to understand the will of God and direction from him. So now about King David. You may say that you will, but God thought he was pretty special, King David. So do you remember what set King David apart from everyone else? What made him special in the eyes of God? So he's a king. He was a king, and it was the king beautiful and important in the eyes of the Lord. So let us read very interesting story. I love this story. First Samuel chapter 16. And we'll see what made King David different from other kings in Israel. First Samuel chapter 16 from verse 1. Adonai said to Samuel, Shmuel, "How much longer are you going to go on grieving for Shaul, Saul? Now that I have rejected him as a king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Yishai, the Ben Lachmi, because I have chosen myself a king from among his sons." Verse 3. "Summon Yishai to the sacrifice. I will tell you what to do. And you are to anoint for me the person I point out to you." Yishai, he was the father of King David. verse 6. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, Eliab was the first son. This has to be Adonai's anointed one, here before him. But Adonai said to Shmuel, don't pay attention to how he looks or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. Adonai doesn't see the way humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks at the heart. Yishai presented seven of his sons to Shmuel, but Shmuel told Yishai, Adonai has not chosen these. Are all your sons here? Shmuel asked Yishai. He replied, there is still the youngest. He's out there tending the sheep. Shmuel said to Yishai, send and bring him back, because we won't sit down to eat until he gets here. So he sent and brought him in, with ruddy cheeks and hair and bright eyes. He was a good-looking fellow. Adonai said, stand up and anoint him. He is the one. Shmuel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in his brother's presence. From that day on, the spirit of Adonai would fall upon David with power. So Shmuel set out and went to Ramah. A fascinating story and a beautiful picture of how God works. Even the father brought all the sons of the prophet with the exception of one, the smallest one, David. He was the least handsome son in the family. There was no sort of greatness about him. He was not distinguished by strength or leadership abilities. He was the youngest, the smallest one. And even his father seemed to have forgotten about him. Who is he? David. Well, that was he good for. This David, what can he do? He can play a homemade harp. He can worship and pray. Whatever. Let him gaze the sheep. He can pray and play and sing all he wants there. That is how his father and brothers looked at David. But they didn't know the mind of the Lord. So this is the key. David, long before he became king of Israel, was a worshiper filled with the Spirit of God. He became a prophet of God, and everything he did, he checked against the will of God. That was the secret of King David's success, the anointing with the Holy Spirit. He was not only the king of Israel, but he was the prophet of Israel. You remember John chapter 14, 26. But the counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. The second place I really love about it, it's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Hebrews 8, 10 and 11. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And verse 11, this is the key verse. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, know Adonai, for all will know me, for the least of them, from the least of them to the greatest. Everyone, from least to the greatest, will know me. This is the essence of the gospel, the good news for us and good news to us. The truth is, you and I have been called to the heavenly kingdom. We are no longer like children who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We are royalty, children of the King of Kings, and he wants to speak to us personally. to show us a more perfect way, to lead us in paths of righteousness. We know such joy, we experience such opportunity as we know the Lord personally, as we commune with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. I want to show the same truth through the example of other verses in the same Torah chapter. So let us open Numbers. It's the same Torah chapter for today. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It starts with a commandment from the Lord. Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell Aaron, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah." Immediately following the dedication of the Mishkan, tabernacle of Moses, and right after the sacrifices were made by the elders of Israel, Moses went into the tabernacle and the Lord began to speak to him from the Ark of the Covenant. And the first thing the Lord commanded was to light the menorah. It was the first commandment from the Lord in the tabernacle of Moses. So let me repeat this important detail. Light the menorah was the very first thing Moses heard from the Lord when he entered the Mishkan. Light the menorah. How we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. The light of the menorah in the tabernacle of Moses indicate the presence of God, in which there is no darkness, because He is the light. How very different is this verse from Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. This is the words of Messiah to Pharisees. He said to them, "Let them be, they are blind guides. When a blind man guides another blind man, both will fall in a pit." In the dark, you do not see where you should go. You don't understand where trouble may come from. You don't see what is ahead of you. But when the light comes, everything becomes simple and clear. You have noticed that one of the most frequently performed miracles that the Messiah Yeshua performed was to open the eyes of the blind, to restore vision to those without vision, to restore hope to those who had no hope. When I read about these miracles, I see myself in the place of the healed. I was blind before I came to God and repented. I didn't know where I was going or what waited ahead of me. The whole plan for my life had always been just to get ahead, just to get the best deal possible out of life. For me, life was an absolutely meaningless existence, time flowing from one day into the next, all my life before I came to the Lord. But when the Messiah came into my life, when the Holy Spirit filled my heart, when I learned to recognize His voice, how everything changed. I felt the same way as did the young man in the parable of the prodigal son. I was that son. Do you remember Father told about him? "For this son of mine was dead, but now he's alive again. He was lost, but now he has been found." The light of God brings joy, freedom, and meaning to our lives. The Spirit of God brings answers to our questions, order to our chaos, understanding to our confusion. Do you remember what fired up the menorah? Sacred oil. Oil which was the type of the Holy Spirit. You remember that kings and priests were anointed with sacred oil. The very word Messiah in Hebrew Mashiach and Christ in Greek means the anointed one, the one who is anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit. We can find seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Think of the branches of the menorah. In the book of Isaiah, in this prophetic text about the coming Mashiach, coming of Messiah. It is in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 3. It is about our Mashiach, our Messiah. But a branch will emerge from the trunk of Isaiah. A shoot will grow from his roots. And remember, Isaiah is the father of King David. Verse 2. The spirit of Adonai will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and power. The spirit of knowledge and fearing Adonai. He will be inspired by fearing Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. So the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, fear of God. This is the way Yeshua walked, the way he lived. And so he gave us a wonderful example, a beautiful picture of how we should live our lives, walking in the light of the Spirit of the Lord. So now let's talk about the practical applications of these truths in our lives. So how can we be led by the Holy Spirit? This is the question for us. And of course, it is a huge question. It's a big question. We won't be able to answer all this question. But there is only one answer to this question, the most important answer: to know Him personally, to obey Him. And for this it is necessary to develop your personal relationship with Him. Probably one of the most understandable instructions on how to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord was given to us by Rabbi Shaul. And it's practical, really practical. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through verse 19 and 20 also. Ephesians 5, 17, 18, 19, 20. So let us read together. So don't be foolish. I love this beginning. Don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. But try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. And here's the practical steps. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other. Sing to the Lord and make music in your heart to Him. Always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. So the practical steps. First, obvious. Sing to the Lord and make music in your heart to Him. What a wonderful and practical description here. This is one of the most important keys into the spiritual world. Please pay attention to the kind of music you listen to. What music is in your heart? What songs are coming to your mind when you hear the music anywhere? This is one of the easiest ways to be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, to sing to the Lord, to worship Him, to make music in your heart to Him. Your heart is a musical instrument. It is a beautiful instrument. And we need to tune our hearts to worship the Lord, to play the great music to Him. And you know that guitars and pianos is only the instruments, but our heart is a true instrument. This is the way how can we worship the Lord. And He hears our songs. He hears our music. The second, studying the Word of God. Remember, we start with verse 17. Don't be foolish, don't be stupid, but try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Studying the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never contradict with the written word, the Bible. And therefore, the more time we spend studying the Bible, the more our minds are transformed and changed. We get to know the Lord and His will and become sensitive to His voice through the reading of the Scriptures. It's very important to remember places of Scriptures. Third step, it's very easy. Prayer is our conversation with our Heavenly Father, our time with Him. There is nothing simpler, but at the same time, nothing more difficult than constant prayer. spending time in communion with the Lord. I don't know how about you, maybe you noticed that as soon as the time for prayer comes, there are always urgent matters. The phone rings, etc. Always something to do. I want to encourage you today. Take time to spend with the Lord, to speak with Him. Write this time on the calendar, exactly the same as you write down the time of the meeting for you, business meeting. Spend time with the Lord. Another important method is to pray in the Spirit, in other tongues. When you are driving or going somewhere, the bigger, the better. Just pray in your spirit. It's a beautiful time to pray, even if you're busy and going somewhere. Fourth step. It is very important to be in spiritual fellowship with the saints, with your brothers and sisters. That is not just to eat together, it's also fellowship, but to devote time to prayer together, sing together, reflecting on the Bible together. It is a very important place in our lives. As we read verse 19, sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs to each other. Sing to the Lord and make music in your heart to Him. Step 5, number 5. Serving in a local community is a very important part of our spiritual growth. When we can put our knowledge into practice and serve one another, it is when the Lord is leading us and showing us what to do, how to serve better. It's a very great time to grow in the Spirit. And the last, but not the least one, the most important, obedience to the Lord. It is very important. It's a key. When the Lord shows you something, obey. Even if you make a mistake and do something wrong, it is still better than doing nothing. We all learn from our mistakes, all of us. I want to encourage you and would like to read one instructive examples from the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, how he learned to follow the Lord. It is a great place of scripture. Books of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Acts 16, 6 through 10. This is life experience. Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul's life experience. Acts 16, verse 6. They traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Because they had been prevented by the Ruach HaKodesh from speaking the message in the province of Asia. Wow. The Lord didn't allow them to speak the good news in the province of Asia. He sent them in different direction. Verse 7. When they came to the frontier of Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Yeshua would not let them. So after passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. There a vision appeared to Shaul at night. A man from Macedonia was standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Verse 10. As soon as he had seen the vision, we lost no time getting ready to leave for Macedonia. For we concluded that God has called us to proclaim the good news to them. Can you see here? Paul walked, acted, and was open to the direction of the Holy Spirit in his life. He did not try to bring his projects to God for signature, but submitted his will in order to try, go, and change his direction at any moment. He was open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He tried. He was ready to move forward, and the Lord directed him. So there are many more practical steps, but I will focus on these initial and most important ones. It is so important to remember. So important to remember. I cannot tell you how many times in my life the Holy Spirit guided, corrected, saved me when I was obedient to Him. And also how many times and how many mistakes and problems I made in my life when I did not listen to the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to finish with Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in Adonai with all your heart Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He will level your paths. Our experience can fail us. Our mind is not able to understand everything. But humility, obedience, knowledge of God is our only reliable guide. Thank you so much for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and then we will return to Brian and Diane's home for a final worship song. So let us pray together. Yeverecha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha.